When I was growing up, part of the time in Los Angeles, we lived near LAX Airport. Two of the homes we lived in were taken by the airport for expansion over the years. One has a runway on it, the other one's got a Hertz rent-a-car place on it now. But one of these homes it was on a bit of a hill, and all of the garages were in the back along with the driveways. So it made a really, both sides of the street were very pretty. You know, there were no cars and that kind of thing parked out there. But one thing that was not too good about that arrangement is that it was hard to get to know the neighbors. You know, if you don't have a garage there, you have less of an excuse to run into them. And so, in consequence, we really didn't know our neighbors very well. Maybe that's what some people seek in suburbia. But it was interesting because when I was, a junior in high school, I noticed that someone about seven houses down was moving, and they had the truck in the back in the alley, and I thought, gee, that's funny. I never even knew these people, and now they're leaving, you know. So I went to school that day. When I came home, there was something interesting going on in the street in front. There were a number of police cars out in the street, and somebody was very agitated and was moving their hands around, and what came to find out that it was the same home. And these people were not moving away. A thief had pulled up a moving van and taken every stick of furniture in the house, everything except for the phone on the wall. How would you like to come home and see that, huh? I guess they had scoped them out and knew their pattern, coming and going. It's a word to the wise. There's a lot of insight one can get from that image, one of which is the fact that none of us leaves this earth with any possessions. Eventually, somebody comes and takes everything away. But I noticed that today our Lord says there are two voices that we can listen to, the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the thief. One of them comes to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. Another one comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So what we want to do is to make sure that we're not allowing the thief to pull up a truck and empty the contents of our heart and our soul. Now, none of us would do that if we recognized the thief. But the problem is that we don't always recognize the thief for who the thief really is. If we had known that these people who looked like a legitimate moving company were actually thieves, somebody would have called the police. But we didn't know. And that's a clue to us that we allow temptations to come in because we get something out of them. But in the end, they will clean us out and leave us stolen, empty, and murdered. That's called deadly sin. Now, our Lord says, I am the gate of the sheep. In other words, there was a gate in Jerusalem where the sheep would come and go. And Jesus was saying, if I am your gatekeeper, you will go in and come out and find good pasture. But if it's the thief, he's going to come in another way. And eventually he's going to clean you out. He's scoping you out, and then he's going to pull out what's valuable. So we don't want that thief getting in. So we want the Lord to be our gatekeeper. So what are the gates of our soul? What are the primary gates? Two of them are our eyes, and the third one is our mouth. These are the ways in which the Lord will enter and leave, or the thief will come in and leave. So I think we could start with the eyes. How is the Lord wants to be the gatekeeper of our eyes? It's a really good spiritual principle. The monks are very good at teaching this to novices, to keep custody of the eyes. If I can keep custody of the eyes, I know many of you have been up to Mount Angel when they pray there. When the monks come out, most of them have custody of the eyes. They don't look around to see who's out there unless they are trying to meet somebody. They keep their eyes focused on their prayers. And so in the same way, I've been asked a number of times, both in confession and in classes, Now, yesterday was about 80 degrees, which I just thought was wonderful. You know, 2 weeks ago, it almost snowed here. So I just think, you know, I'm in Clover whenever it's hot. But, you know, I heard the weather was really good at the beach. So let's say you went to the beach and a member of the opposite sex was there in a bathing suit. And the question comes up to me, well, I looked, Father, is that a sin? My question to them is, how long did you look? Did you look twice? Huh? See, the first look we can't help. That's just human nature. If a temptation walks right in front of us, we're going to go. But the second look belongs to God. And we have custody of the eyes because we love someone, don't we? The Lord and possibly the person we're married to. So we especially if they're at the beach with us. So you see how your eyes can get you in trouble, though. It's the window of the soul. And that's where temptation will enter most often. In our very visual society, the eyes are our greatest temptation. We all know this. How many times do we watch something on TV and afterward we don't get it out of our heads because we've let the thief into our soul? And we have to remember, he's selling something we want. The truck looks like a legitimate furniture company. It looks like a moving van, but it's there to clean you out. We've let the thief in, and he begins to do his dirty work. This is particularly prevalent on the internet when we look at things we shouldn't, such as pornography, which is an epidemic in our society. Where does it enter? It enters through the eyes. And the bitter fruits that come out are they steal, they murder, they destroy. Destroys our families, destroys our soul, destroys our self-esteem. But we let it in because it's selling something we want, and we don't see the thief that comes in disguise. So our Lord says, let me be your gatekeeper. Yes, there are things I will tell you you shouldn't do, but if I am your gatekeeper, I will give you life and give you life in the full. That's what we really want, isn't it? We want that abundant life that is heaven. And Christ comes to give it to us. But we have to trust him and entrust our senses to him. The other portal, of course, is our mouths. Notice what St. Peter said in the second reading. He said, when he was insulted, he returned no insult. Instead, he delivered himself up to the righteous judge. What do we do when we're insulted? We want to insult them back. Maybe we do and maybe we don't. Is the Lord the gatekeeper of my mouth? It's a dangerous thing to even mention because all of us have had the experience of being talked badly about. Most of us have. And most of us have, in turn, done that to others. But our Lord tells us our words are the window of our souls, just like our eyes. It's expressing what's truly in our hearts. If my words are not of God, they're going to steal and murder and destroy people's reputations. And when we complain about everything, what does that really do? It's telling God, I don't trust you. It allows the murderer to come in and begin to work on our soul, and things get worse. I think the way that we, practically speaking, that we can allow the Lord to be our gatekeeper of our mouth in particular is, can I learn to be a person of gratitude? It's much easier to ask the Lord for something than to thank him for it afterward, isn't it? All we have to do is look at how many thank yous you got for the Christmas presents you gave out last year. Right? So our Lord asks us to be grateful, to be thankful, to praise him, to rejoice, and particularly in the things that are difficult. When we do that, the Lord becomes the gate of the sheep in our lives. We will go in and come out and find pasture. And it puts up a kind of a force field that keeps the thief from coming in, who will come in a different way and comes to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. So today our Lord offers us this choice, and it really is a daily choice. It's almost the kind of choice that we make from one situation to the other. The Lord is always challenging us, who is the gatekeeper in my life? Is it the Lord? Or is it the thief who looks enticing at first but comes in the end to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. The choice is up to us.